Numbers chapter 5, and our reading together, Numbers chapter 5. So if you open to it, and those that would care to stand as we read it. Numbers chapter 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp every leper and everyone having a discharge and everyone who is unclean because of a dead person. You shall send away both male and female. You shall send them outside the camp so that they will not defile their camp where I dwell in their midst." And the sons of Israel did so and sent them outside the camp just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Thus the sons of Israel did. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel. When a man or woman commits any of the sins of mankind, acting unfaithfully against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess his sins which he has committed, and he shall make restitution in full for his wrong, and add to it one-fifth of it, and give it to him whom he has wronged. But if the man has no relative to whom restitution may be made for the wrong, the restitution which is made for the wrong must go to the Lord for the priest, besides the ram of atonement, by which atonement is made for him. Also every contribution pertaining to all the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, which they offer to the priest, shall be his. So every man's holy gift shall be his. Whatever any man gives to the priest, it becomes his." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and is unfaithful to him, and a man has intercourse with her, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and she is undetected, although she has defiled herself, and there is no witness against her, and she has not been caught in the act, if a spirit of jealousy comes over him, and he is jealous of his wife when she has defiled herself, or if a spirit of jealousy comes over him and he is jealous of his wife when she has not defiled herself, the man shall then bring his wife to the priest and shall bring as an offering for her one-tenth of an ephah of barley meal. And he shall not pour oil on it nor put frankincense on it, for it is a grain offering of jealousy, a grain offering of memorial, a reminder of iniquity. Then the man shall bring her near and have her stand before the Lord, and the priest shall take holy water in an earthenware vessel, and he shall take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it into the water. The priest shall then have the woman stand before the Lord and let the hair of the woman's head go loose and place the grain offering of memorial in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And in the hand of the priest is to be the water of bitterness that brings a curse. And the priest shall have her take an oath and say to the woman, if no man has laid with you, and you have not gone astray into uncleanness, being under the authority of your husband, be immune to this water of bitterness that brings a curse. If you, however, have gone astray, being under the authority of your husband, and if you have defiled yourself, and a man other than your husband has had intercourse with you, then the priest shall have the woman swear with the oath of the curse, and the priest shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people by the Lord's making your thigh waste away and your abdomen swell. And this water that brings a curse shall go into your stomach and make your abdomen swell and your thigh waste away. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. The priest shall then write these curses on a scroll, and he shall wash them off into the water of bitterness. Then he shall make the woman drink the water of bitterness that brings a curse, so that the water which brings a curse will go into her and cause bitterness. And the priest shall take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman's hand, and he shall wave the grain offering before the Lord and bring it to the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the grain offering as its memorial offering and offer it up in smoke on the altar. And afterward he shall make the woman drink the water. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall come about, if she has defiled herself and has been unfaithful to her husband, that the water which brings a curse shall go into her and cause bitterness, and her abdomen will swell, and her thigh will waste away, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, she will then be free and conceive children. This is the law of jealousy, when a wife being under the authority of her husband goes astray and defiles herself, or when a spirit of jealousy comes over a man and he is jealous of his wife, he shall then make the woman stand before the Lord, and the priest shall apply all this law to her. Moreover, the man shall be free from guilt, but that woman shall bear her guilt. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Numbers 5, 1 through 3. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp every leper and everyone having a discharge and everyone who is unclean because of a dead person. You shall send away both male and female. You shall send them outside the camp so that they will not defile their camp where I dwell in their midst. In this morning's reading, we have the stipulations from the Lord regarding the fact that the camp of Israel needed to maintain its purity because of the presence of the Lord in their midst. They needed to consider His holiness in the manner in which even their daily lives were conducted. This will be the emphasis for the next number of chapters that we will read as the people are being prepared to march forth as His chosen nation. They were being transformed from a motley group of released slaves into the nation that represented the living Lord God Almighty within the whole of the known world. That is why there were such precise and strict regulations in place throughout the social structure of the nation. They were no longer just a haphazard or disjointed group of shepherds and laborers, but they were being brought into the uniformity of a social order under the direction and the kingship of God Himself. He was establishing those laws and social requirements that would set them apart from the other nations that surrounded them. They were under His banner as they were to proceed into the promised land and to conquer those nations who did not so honor the most righteous and holy and living Lord God Almighty. To do that, they needed to be separate and distinct in the manner in which they lived and operated and functioned with each other and with the Lord. Accordingly, they required instruction as to the acceptable social patterns of behavior that would be pleasing to the Lord. This meant that they would function always with the reality of His immediate presence within the nation, as was represented by the tent of meeting. As they journeyed forward, it was always as He so directed, with His pillar of cloud by day and His pillar of fire by night. That was the means by which God made very evident that He was their King and they were His chosen people. He supplied their every need, and they were to obey His every commandment as precious and as wonderful in the course of their walk before God. In line with this, they were to array their camp, as was detailed in the first chapters of Numbers, including the central area in which the tent of meeting was located, and the Levites were so distinctly arranged around it. In these next chapters, God, through Moses, set up the social structure of the nation that would transform them into a people with order and dignity and laws that protected them from the defilement and the dangers of the ungodly peoples surrounding them. In dealing with those who were struck with sores and discharged from their bodies, the Lord was setting up a barrier of health around His people. Those who were excluded from the central portion of the encampment were those who had visible signs of physical distress and illness. This was signified by the word used as leper, but is not the same word that we use today to identify those with what is called Hansen's disease. As well, those who had dealt with a dead body were kept outside the camp until their cleansing was completed. This manner of isolating those who could be contagious was in place until such time as the sores were healed and the priests would declare them to be clean again. Then they were permitted to return to the social structure from whence they had been removed, no longer considered a possible danger to the entire populace. This was God's grace and mercy in action for both the protection of the whole nation as well as the means by which those who were healed could be restored unto their community. Also, this detailed protection was evident in the manner in which the Israelites were to deal with the refuse of the camp, including the sacrifice by the priests, as we have stipulated in Leviticus 4, 11 and 12. Leviticus 4, 11 and 12. But the hide of the bull and all its flesh with its head and its legs and its entrails and its refuse, that is, all the rest of the bull, he is to bring out to a clean place outside the camp where the ashes are poured out and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned. The Lord was setting into place all the sanitary health instructions for such a large populace dealing with their interactions as a people. They could not just throw their garbage everywhere and anywhere, as was so common with all the other civilizations of the world that had no ideas concerning germs and waste-borne illnesses and bad food handling procedures. These stipulations were so far ahead of the known practices as God was establishing them for His chosen people before human scientific knowledge caught up with His ordinances for the safety of His nation. Again, as stipulated in Leviticus 15, 31 through 33, even the manner of the private relations among husband and wife were under the direct protection of the Lord in detailing the way in which they should interact with each other for the sake of a healthy and satisfied relationship. Leviticus 15, 31 through 33, thus you shall keep the sons of Israel separated from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by their defiling my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for the one with a discharge and for the man who has a seminal emission so that he is unclean by it, and for the woman who is ill because of menstrual impurity, and for the one who has a discharge, whether a male or a female, or a man who lies with an unclean woman. Moreover, as we read in Leviticus 26, 19 through 12, even the supply of food was subject to the safe handling practices as ordained by God for His people. The old was to be cleared out in order to not contaminate the new. Leviticus 26, 9 through 12. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. And you will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. This would ensure the fruitfulness and the safety of the people of God in the course of both their physical daily routines and their spiritual development as His nation. All of these ordinances and stipulations were indicative of the fact that this was a holy nation unto God. This people was no longer the lowly servant class of humanity, but the regal bearers of the standard of the one true living Lord God Almighty, Yahweh. Accordingly, they needed to learn to conduct themselves in a manner which reflected the fact that the Lord God was dwelling in their midst. They needed to be separated from all those things which were bringing impurity and filth into the holy presence of God including even their dealing with their toiletry issues. Nothing was too insignificant for the purification of God's people. This was dealt with in Deuteronomy 23, 9 through 14, where the Lord gave precise instruction as to how the members of the army were to conduct themselves in their war encampments. This was in order that they would not fall ill, as was common in so many battle situations with so many men closely encamped together. Deuteronomy 23, 9 through 14. When you go out as an army against your enemies, then you shall keep yourself from every evil thing. If there is among you any man who is unclean because of a nocturnal emission, then he must go outside the camp. He may not re-enter the camp. But it shall be when evening approaches, he shall bathe himself with water, and at sundown he may re-enter the camp. You shall also have a place outside the camp and go there, and you shall have a spade among your tools, and it shall be when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and shall turn to cover up your excrement. Since the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to defeat your enemies before you, therefore your camp must be holy, and he must not see anything indecent among you, lest he turn away from you. The psalmist, in Psalm 68, 15 through 20, declared the truth that God was the one who kept his people safe because he is holy. He required that the people kept themselves from all impurity because of the fact that they were in his presence. And as he mentions, the escapes from death, those fully include the sanitary restrictions which caused the people unwittingly to follow practices which limited exposure to disease and illness. Psalm 68, 15 through 20. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for his abode? Surely the Lord will dwell there forever. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captive thy captives. Thou hast received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation, Selah. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. With regard to our morning's reading then, we have the Lord dealing with those elements that required the people to honor his holiness concerning the manner in which they dealt with the practical details of their daily walk before him. As he was in their presence, so they had to live in a way that honored him and indicated that they valued his presence and wanted to be holy as his people. The most basic elements of that were seen in the fact that those people who were infectious in some visible manner were put out of the encampment until such a time as they were healthy again. This was a gracious manner of dealing with those outward physical issues as evidence in the body, with recourse toward being returned to their families. The next level was that of the restitution of personal wrongs against the other members of the community. There was a need for righting the wrong. Even if that person might be deceased and no longer had a legitimate living relative, restitution had to be made in order to give evidence that the evildoer was penitent and wanted to make things right again. The Lord's holiness was therefore at the forefront of view in the way that the people were to treat one another. This showed the deepening level from the outward to the inward attitudes toward each other. The next step was the husband and wife issue, dealing with the most intimate relationships within the community of the chosen people of God. This one dealt with the manner in which to handle those issues of the heart of jealousy, and the heart of breaking covenant. Both the husband and wife were put forward in this matter as needing to deal with impurity at its core element within the heart and within the mind. Our current society cannot appreciate what was involved with the significance of how to deal with the marriage covenant in a male-dominated society as was in place at that time. In almost all the culture, all the other cultures, the husband would simply kill the wife and no one would question it. But God, in all His grace and His mercy, made a way for the repair of the relationship and the restoration and protection of the marriage bond. This brought a cleansing manifestation of His righteousness into the core basic relationship of His people. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 12, detailed what the heart of the people should be for the great love with which God manifested His care and His keeping of them from all the ills and diseases and the filth of this world. There should be that recognition and that joy that God so chooses to dwell among His people. Isaiah chapter 12. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, for although thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou dost comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. That is the key truth that should never be forgotten. We are dealing with the fact that God is in the midst of His people. That single reality made it imperative that His people conducted themselves in full accordance with the majesty and the holiness of His immediate presence dwelling among them. Accordingly, they needed to be taught and they needed to be encouraged to make certain that they were practicing all the behaviors and the conduct of their attitudinal and intimate relationships which showed their respect and their honor and their reverence to God. As Christians, we too are subject to the holiness of God, as so encouraged by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. We are a people who are set apart unto God alone. Our every manner of operation on this earth is subject to and a testimony of and unto Him. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has God with Baal? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The ultimate disclosure of who we now are in Christ is set forth by the vision of John in Revelation 21, 2 through 5. All the cleansing and the purifying work of God will be in evidence to the whole of His creation as the true church, the bride of Christ, is presented to Him. Revelation 21, verses 2 through 5. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. It is the presence of God that makes us want to honor and to reverence Him in the every manner of our conduct on this earth. The statement that we live unto Him is not just a saying. It is the manifested truth of who we are now in Christ, living unto Him in every practical, emotional, and spiritual detail of the life that He gives us. So be it. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp every leper and everyone having a discharge, and everyone who is unclean because of a dead person. You shall send away both male and female. You shall send them outside the camp so that they will not defile their camp where I dwell in their midst. Amen.